time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, one time. This is Damian Lemon.
And this is Ali Muhammad.
This is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
We are here live and direct
in the building.
Shit, Metro Podcast Studios.
Shout out
to the people.
No doubt.
Oh, man. What's good with you, brother?
Hey, man. Everything's good, man. Everything's good.
Well, that's good.
Out here rolling, you know, busting through life, you know what I'm
saying? Busting through life?
Yeah, busting through that bitch. Like, wow.
Fuck out of here.
You know what I'm saying? You know, life will try to put you in the headlight. You can't be lollygagging with it.
You got to grapple with that shit.
You know what I'm saying? You got to get out there and wrestle.
Trying to live.
Out here wrestling with it.
Oh, man. I hear that.
You know what I'm saying? Let them know. You know, wake up. No, you got to fight me every day.
I'm here.
First on site, player. On site.
Damn. That sounds like adversity.
Nah, it ain't adversity unless you catch you on sight. You know what I'm saying?
Life sneak up on your ass.
As soon as you get restful and shit, and shit damn. Start busting you upside the head. Blah, blah. Mm.
Damn. Well, shit.
But it's all good. Okay. So, you know what I'm saying? Okay. Ain't no trip.
That's what's up. Me and life ain't got no beef right now. We, you know, we chilling. We kicking it off. I'm chilling.
No doubt.
Kicking it off. I was outside, you know, where we at now. The new spot is kind of, it's in a new mix. You know what I mean? So right. I'm outside. I'm sitting on a, waiting on a parking spot. And while I'm there, I'm doing a lot of people watching.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good people watching locale.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's a lot of. A lot of funny walkers.
What's a funny walker?
Just, I don't know. They come in all different styles. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you got to see it.
When you watch humans walk,
yeah,
humans walk very weird.
Oh, yeah. They get through it. Because there's no particular way to get through life, as you said. There's no real way to get through. You just got to get your ass through it. And however you do it. Some people look like they're galloping.
And see, you know, I come from an era where you practice your walk.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like
you get your walk together. Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's a part of everything.
Uh-huh.
But when you people watch, you see people ain't practicing that
they
shit.
They ain't working
the
on it at all.
Just be flopping here and there.
Looking crazy.
Looking like little animals in the wild.
Yeah, man. So, but that's some fun shit to do. Until people see you, then you look like a creep.
Fine.
You look like the creep in the car. That sounds like a weird movie, The Creep in the Car.
You know what I'm saying? Now, the shit be like, once I started like doing video and shooting motherfuckers, when you get in the world, you can't really turn off your eye. You know what I'm saying? So you're looking at everything like it's a shot.
Oh,
the light look good on that right there. Oh, you be looking at people, they be like, what the fuck?
All this scrutiny in your face.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just like, what the fuck you looking at?
Yeah, that's crazy.
So, you know what I'm saying? I try to refrain, but it's like, you know, that good golden light start hitting on anything. You just like, okay, that right there will be a good shot. And I ain't the street photographer dude with the camera on deck. Like, hey, can I take your picture?
Nah,
I'm not that dude.
That's interesting.
I'm not that guy.
That's interesting. Because you said one, you look at things through as shots,
mm-hmm.
but you tell stories via video. That's definitely a platform. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting. I mean, I know you did shoot a little bit of still photography.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I guess you kind of just, for sake of a better word, you leaped over that shit and went to a whole nother medium. You don't fuck with still photography?
Nah,
is there a reason?
I do, but I don't do like street photography. That's a song science in itself because it requires a level of socializing that I don't like to mix with my art.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? As far as what I'm doing.
Okay.
So to stop somebody from their day.
Right.
Hold up. Hey, I like what you got on. I'm this photographer. I do this blog or whatever the fuck. I don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, I like to see shit as it's going and capture it as it's going, as it is, you know what I'm saying? As opposed to...
Unprompted.
Yeah, let me go pose you up. Let me stop you from what you... That light, let me put you back right here. Because the beauty of video and still photography is that you don't get them times again. You know what I'm saying? That light right. on that person at that time is what it is, and it won't happen again. You know what yeah. I'm saying? You could try to make it happen, da 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 da, but you know what I'm saying? You can't replicate that second or that, you know what I'm saying, that moment. That's the beauty of it. And that's the way I play in it. Like, let me capture these moments as they exist in real time. Mm-hmm. And so that's how, you know, that's how I've been moving with it. So it's hard for me to snap out and do like street photography. That's a whole nother science.
I used to do a little bit of street photography. Before it was, I guess, a genre, before it was like called street photography. You mean it was,
and that was really just a creep with a camera.
Nah, not when you actually having the interface.
Okay.
Yeah, no. I was clearly having the interface. Hold on, let me catch this. Yo, you want to like?
But like,
I
was strangers or
strangers and okay. people I knew, because it was just like, fuck it, let's get it. You know what I mean? Let's figure it out. And it's one of the things, it's a feeling, because it is, it's basically cold call. It's almost right. catcalling.
Right.
You know what I mean? On yeah. a certain level, it's a weird moment where it's like, yo, I just want to take your photo. You know what I mean? That could be weird in many contexts.
Right.
But, and this is before, this was film. So they got to mm-hmm. trust
right.
that this shit ain't going nowhere.
And you can't even show them the digital print.
You can't even let it. They don't even know if the photo was good. It was the moment.
Right.
It was the moment. And that's what it used to be. Like, yo, okay. Ooh, like, you remember right. back in the day before everybody could kind of.
You got to go develop that bit.
Yeah, do the approval.
I don't even do the approval. You know, if I shoot somebody like in a party or some shit like that.
Yeah, that's different.
I don't do the approval.
I'm talking about like in society now, like if you do take a photo of a friend of yours or they, yo, let's do this. Let's take this photo. It's bing, bing. And then it's the review. And then, you know what I mean? You hope the review, you pass the review, because if you don't, we got to go back. Now your confidence is down. Now you're at 79% because you didn't perform in the first one.
I'm Scrooge McGrooge with that shit, though.
Shit, we second and long.
I take that bitch and keep it moving. Yeah. If it didn't work, hey, it didn't work. But we not finna do this right here.
Yeah. I don't like to do a lot of that, but that happens at like, mm-hmm. at shows, after shows, you know what I mean? Like. Right. Dude, I was blurry. Let's get it again. Right, my right. stomach was out.
See, the worst shit ever, though, when I'm out shooting, is the motherfucker who stopped you and cold call you, like,
right.
can you take my picture?
Oh, yeah, that's
you know
hilarious.
What I'm saying? Be like, hey, I'm doing video, first of all, but can you take it with my phone?
Because you must know what you're doing.
Right.
You so look like a pro.
You got a camera. But then you set up the picture, you know uh-huh. what I'm saying? You get it right. And then they hit you with the, nah, you got to put it up in the air high. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? The angle got to be high. I'm like, who told you that bullshit now? Y'all acting a goddamn fool.
Uh-huh.
Take this goddamn camera now. Because mm-hmm. I'm not finna be subjected to your selfie rules.
Right.
Because ain't nowhere in the professional landscape is nobody taking a picture from way up above.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know what I'm saying? Any fashion shoot you see, any professional photo you see is not going to be coming from sky high. Shooting down on you.
Let me ask you this. Yeah, okay. Where does shoot from the hip come from? Now, the shoot from the hip.
Oh, I don't
mean,
even. I thought that was talking straight up. I don't know. I don't know where it came from.
That's what I thought. But one day I was like shooting and I had the camera like on some shoot from the hip shit.
Right.
And you feel like it's a little core action. You feel a little stabilization.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if that was where that originated.
I mean, it's probably one from a... If it was shooting, it had to be some gun shit.
Off the waist.
Like, shooting right out your holster.
Yeah, maybe that
don't try
it.
To bring it up.
Yeah, let us know in the comments.
Maybe it was not doing a lot of shooting with cameras back then.
Yeah, well, you know.
You know what I'm saying? I'm going to look that shit up, though, as we keep talking.
Well, let's keep talking. Let's not have a lull. Let's get a Google and a talk.
Yeah, it come from a firearm.
Yeah, I figured.
They say okay. to discharge a firearm Bing where bow. It's held near the hip without taking time via the gun sights. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So then figuratively is to speak or act quickly based on first impressions without carefully studying the background information, wider context, et cetera.
Mm.
Yeah, so it's get your gun out your holster and shoot it right away without trying to aim.
Immediate. Yeah. That was the shit. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, you had to be quick draw McGraw.
Yeah, yeah. Nigga challenge you to a duel.
Yeah. Put shit together.
Niggas don't want no duel. They just want to surprise you. Just pull their shit out and shoot you.
Yeah, no, high noon. This is you know when on site. It went from high noon to on site.
You know what I'm saying? Speaking of a high noon situation.
Uh-oh.
I was, you know, watching the net, as you say.
Uh-huh.
And it was this girl, she was in the theater at the Joker movie.
Okay.
And it was a situation happening before the movie started where this one dude, he had not stood up, and he was challenging the guy that was sitting next to him. I don't know what happened in the beginning, but he was like, yo, you know what I'm saying? I already pushed the button, da-da-da-da-da, and, you know, and then dude said something. Then he was like, don't bro me, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He was like, oh, you wanted to talk all your shit, but now you don't like how I reacted.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So he's standing up. He's not no little...
Is this camera phone footage?
This camera phone footage.
Okay.
And he not no little dude.
Uh-huh.
So it's camera phone footage from the next row. So he's like, you know, you talking all your talk, but you don't like how I responded.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Now you want to change it. But don't worry about it. I'm going to see you after the movie. For real. Uh-huh. And he hit him with a hit. Yeah. Uh-huh. And then he sat his ass down.
Okay.
So Eric, the whole comment thread was like, you know.
What happened?
What the fuck? Like, one, it was like, how is he going to stay mad for 2.5 hours? One. And then the other shit was like, damn, how you going to enjoy the movie?
Right.
Knowing that the nigga next to you want to see you after the show.
But it's also like, you know how comic book movies, they always wait until after the credits for some next shit? They got some after the credits action.
So he got to wait for this ass whooping.
Nah.
It's scheduled. You know what I'm saying? What the fuck do you do?
You're supposed to go off.
And he with his lady.
As soon as them lights, if you want to stay, first of all, don't stay to get your ass beat. What you need to do is say, all right, you got to play it cool. If you're going to stay with your ego and your lady, you wait till them lights go down. You wait about 15 minutes into the film, and you go upside that man's head.
Wow.
While man. I'm not waiting. This is no time release ass whipping.
But he gonna get the ass whipping. Because he wasn't them talking. Because he hit him with a slick line right before he said, I'm going to see you after the movie. He was like, you know, I'm here to see the Joker. I'm not here to see you. You know what I'm saying? I think he done started some shit.
Yeah,
now he want to hit him with a slick little line. He was like, okay. He was like, I'm going to see you after the movie.
So what happened today?
So I'm reading through the comments. It don't show what happened. So I'm reading through the comments trying to see, you know what I'm saying, if there's any resolution to the shit. Old girl came back in there and said, dude got up and left before the shit came on.
Oh, yeah.
He got up out of there.
Yeah, it didn't make no sense. Yeah, that's hilarious though. For them to hold all of that anger and that anxiety through them 2 hours and 2 minutes.
That's like when your mama tell you, when you get home from school, I'm gonna beat that ass.
Mm-hmm. But that's what it used to be though. It used to be the shit like, yo, 3 o'clock.
It's a schedule, you know what I'm saying, situation, high noon.
Wait till after school. That's when all fights were scheduled.
But the trip shit is my man had enough wherewithal to say, you know what, I want to watch this movie.
Right, because I'm already $20.
You know what I'm saying? I'm going to watch this movie.
Yeah.
But after this movie over,
I'm going to beat your ass.
Getting that ass. And then somebody was like, you know, like I said, how you going to hold the anger? But I looked at it more like, oh, nah, he just put that on his schedule of things to do. You know what
right.
I'm saying? It's like, shit, all right, I'm going to watch the Joker.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to eat this popcorn.
Uh-huh.
And then when the credits go off, I'm going to get into some violence.
I'm going to whip some ass.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to get a drink.
That's a nigga who, that's what he do. Like, that, you know what I'm saying? He ain't had the same kind of threat, stress that we have about violence.
Mm-hmm.
His stress about violence is, I'm going to schedule this in.
He know how to delegate it.
Right.
Yeah.
Compartmentalize the violence. You know what I'm saying?
I just left some violence. This is my entertainment block.
You know
but shortly after my entertainment block, I go right back to violence.
I'm going to get back in there.
I clock right back in.
You know what I'm saying? But see, when you out in the world, see, that's the thing about people. When you out in the world, you don't never know who you dealing with.
No.
And where they fall on that violent spectrum. You know what I'm saying? Or any spectrum. You know what I'm saying? So it's like the internet got people thinking that everybody should believe the same shit.
Yeah.
Like if you say the wrong shit, you get chastised.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If you fall on the wrong side of thought, you get chastised. But in the world, you might run across somebody who don't believe the same shit you believe in. You believe in talking shit and letting it be ha ha key key back and forth.
Right.
Some people believe in whooping ass.
Right. No, it's true.
And when the mix get mixed up the wrong way and you get across the wrong motherfucker that ain't in your lane.
Uh-huh.
Whoo, buddy.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and that's when it get very shit. It feels very immediate.
You know what I'm saying?
Was it a significant difference between the sizes of the cats?
See, the thing is, you couldn't see that's the shit talker.
He didn't know what type of can he opened.
Exactly, but you know what I'm saying? From the, you know, I hear him to watch the movie, you could tell it was a white guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this guy was white or Puerto Rican. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But he was diesel.
Yeah.
He wasn't like muscle bound, but he, you know what I'm saying? He looked like he could handle himself.
Right.
You know how on Jason Bourne, when he was in the little restaurant, he was like, you know, I can't remember shit, but I do know, you know what I'm saying, that we took 20 steps to get in here and da-da-da-da-da, and that guy at the bar looked like he could handle himself.
Yeah.
He looked like he could handle
real
himself.
Methodical.
You know what I mean? Yeah, he looked like he handled himself.
I was thinking about that, not in that particular thing, but it's one of those things to that point on some Jason Bourne shit. When you first walk into anywhere, that's your mental checklist. You kind of, when you scan in the room when you first walk in, you see who could give you a problem. You say, okay, I don't want no problems with that motherfucker right there. I don't want no problem with them. Those motherfuckers right there look dangerous. They might have a gun. You know what I mean?
Right.
Oh, they ain't no, that's no threat over there. You know what I mean? But right. There is still the scanning and the downloading of information, the awareness factor. I don't think that ever goes away.
Nah, because, you know, that's hood anxieties.
Yeah, I guess you're going to be 60 years old still.
Yeah, you going to size niggas up.
Looking around so before the fucking lights go down.
You got your cane, you know what I'm saying? Like, what can I use as a weapon?
Absolutely.
If shit go down, you get in the train, okay, that nigga right there look like he might get on some crazy shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's okay, this is what I'm going to do for him.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, you know, that's how it is. And some people are more prone to the shit than others.
No, absolutely. What's so funny is the peace you can find in the plan. Even if your plan might not be no shit that you could truly execute, you might have it in your mind like, okay, so I'm going to go straight to this motherfucker's trachea with this umbrella. And I'm going to boom, bust that shit open. And the next thing, as he falls forward towards me, then I'm going to come to the side. I'm going to tap him in his temple. Then I'm going to grab this. And all of this shit sound cool, sound like some shit, if you know what you're doing.
Right.
But if you don't know what you're doing, if some shit pop up, you're going to realize, wait a minute, I don't even have the playbook for that shit. Or I'm going to try.
Because a lot of that, a lot of that shit, you ain't really practiced in. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I know what I'm practicing.
Right.
And I know, so I'm going to use that as my first line of defense.
Right.
But a lot of that shit, what we be talking about, you ain't really versed.
Nah.
You know what I'm saying? You ain't had enough. You ain't got your 10,000 hours in violence.
You realize it's been a minute.
You know what I'm saying? Some cats got their 10,000 hours in violence.
Yeah.
And that's what they do. That's how they read the world.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
they look at the world very physically. And that's a art form that we've lost in today's society.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, most of us. We go to our phone, our computer. We don't get into no violent shit. We barely get into physical shit.
I think that's because we older at this point. I think this motherfucker still out there fighting.
Oh, I ain't saying that it ain't much. I told you, it's niggas that's on every level of the spectrum.
Right.
But society as a whole, they're trying to weed the violent shit out. You can't even whoop your kids.
Right.
Which,
okay.
You know what I'm saying? That might give you 50 hours of violence training. True.
Violence is frowned upon.
Yeah,
now.
Violence. You know what I'm saying? You whoop some ass in school, you might go to jail right now.
Yeah.
You know what
Whereas
I'm
back in the day, you could whip some ass and rip your shirt off and kind of get a little.
Right. Get detention and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And depending on who you was fighting, you might get you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm glad you whooped him.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Right, that's true. That's
so, you know what I'm saying? The way that the laws are built, you can't really use violence with your kids and no shit like that. Not that, you know what I'm saying, you should. I don't want my kids, but you know what I'm saying? All of that shit is getting phased out. And then say you do, you know what I'm saying? The only place they leaving for violence is
jail.
NFL.
Jail.
MMA.
Uh-huh.
Boxing, jail.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? That's about it.
Hockey, maybe.
Hey, you know. You know, for spectacle.
Right.
You know what I mean? But other than that,
It's not
motherfuckers
really
trying to take you to jail about that shit.
You know what's so funny? Speaking of that, violence and the Joker came under a lot of attack because they're saying it's very violent.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it. First of all, I thought the shit was dope.
Really?
I thought it was really good. I thought your man, Joaquin Phoenix, killed it. I knew he was going to kill it. He's a genuine weirdo. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, and I was like, if anybody's going to play the Joker, he gonna kill that shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I like it a lot. Reminds me, my homeboy Andy Haynes was probably the first person to say it, but it's mm-hmm. definitely true. It's basically Taxi Driver, but with the Joker.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? Like, in the way of, it's a character study, you know what I'm saying? And then it's like, you see the people fucking with him.
Mm-hmm.
You see him nearing his breaking point, mm-hmm. and you see there's a bit of an equalizer that comes into play, and then shit go left, you know? And I think a lot of the outrage may be because, you know, I mean, not a lot of the outrage. I mean, I guess outrage is every day now, so it ain't even as outrageous as it used to be. But I think a lot of the controversy is because, but looking out, a lot of the controversy is because I think people thought it was going to be like a comic book ass movie.
But you know the Joker ain't never been no comic book motherfucker.
One, the Joker ain't really been too much for play. You know what I'm saying? Unless we go way back to the old Batman, bang, pow, but, zoom.
Nah. But Dark Knight, he came out, you know what I'm saying?
Dark Knight set a tone. So my thing is, if you see The Dark Knight, I don't understand how you going to feel like, yo, this is way too violent. This is a little crazy. I think one thing is, I think people were, the shit is like it's like Taxi Driver. It's like a real gritty ass movie
mm-hmm.
masked as a comic book movie. Right. Like, it's still a comic book movie because the source is still a Joker mm-hmm. and it's still some shit. But that's the only reason it's a comic book. That shit looks like, you know, they tried to film it in like 70s Manhattan. Right. You know what I'm saying? So it really feels like that whole Scorsese aesthetic. They even kind of make a little bit of an allusion to King of Comedy in a little bit. Because there's a...
What you talking about? Steve Harvey?
No, King of Comedy before. No. The OG King of Comedy, the movie, the Scorsese movie with De Niro.
Okay.
And then, you know, De Niro's in the movie.
I mean, you got it, you know,
that's what we talking about. So De Niro's in the movie, and then, you know, obviously De Niro was in Taxi Driver, so it's like, you know, it's all of that shit going on. But the shit is good. The shit is fucking good. I liked it a lot. I thought that shit was...
Yeah, I'm going to see it tomorrow.
Was dope. It was so good. Like, if somebody would have threatened to whip my ass, I might have forgot midway through the film. And then forgot, walked out aloof, thinking it was all good.
Walk out, blah! Oh, damn!
Come on!
I forgot this ass whooping I was promised.
Yeah, man. I seen it. This older white couple next to me.
Mm-hmm.
This white lady, she had to be about 65. It was ridiculous. She was talking to the screen and shit. This is the shit that they typically project on us.
Right.
She was out there like, go ahead, Joker. She was like, amazing. Amazing performance. Bravo!
Where did you go see this?
Nine motherfuckers in the theater. You said what? Happened?
Where did you see this?
I seen this shit in Atlantic City at the. I seen it in Atlantic City at the probably, IMAX.
She probably Tropicana. From you know what I'm saying? Manhattan. Stuck in Atlantic City after gambling too much 25 years ago.
I don't know where she was from. I ain't feel Manhattan energy on her. She might have been from out in AC, but she kind of. She was vocal as fuck, but then the way she was complimenting his performance, she felt like an acting coach. Like, she had the cadence, she had the projection. She was like, amazing performance. That was brilliant. Like, she talking like we was all in class. Again, it's only nine motherfuckers and we don't know each other. You know, we scattered about the theater.
That's what she might have used to do before she...
She held court in that bitch like we paid for the class. She was like, what he did? Like, she started talking like...
Did she give a motherfucking 10?
A little bit. People walking out, you know what I mean? But she talking to whoever's listening. But she was She was talking like motherfuckers was here to see this shit. It was funny. But yeah, man, overall, I fuck with the Joker. I fucks with the Joker.
I'm gonna go check that bitch out.
Yeah, check it out, man. Let me know what you think. I've been watching a lot of shit. So we can, you know, if you got any shit you want to recap, we could talk about it.
What I watched? Actually, I watched.
I'm not up on Succession. That's the only thing I'm behind on that.
I'm up on that. I'm up on Power.
We could talk about
Power Novella.
We talk about the Power. You know, I see, you know, people's got to get up out of here because we about to get into the spoilers.
You know what I'm saying? All right, bro. We'll holler at you.
If it's Tuesday, you Power Spoilers is spoilers at Sunday 1:40.
Power Spoiler Tuesday.
Oh, man. I'm going to say this. As much as I talk shit about this season, as ridiculous as it is, I'm not going to lie, I've been enjoying this shit. I've been, like I said, every Sunday, I'm watching that bitch as early as I can.
As soon as I remember. It's entertaining.
It's entertaining. It is. There are still moments where I'm like, even where I'm like, I like that scene. That was good acting. Or I fuck with this show. I'm going to miss, you know what I mean? Right. Like, there were some moments in this particular episode I found myself only feeling like, to be honest with you, it's really that Jason subplot that's killing me. I think that's probably the most ridiculous of them all. It's just conveniently silly. You know what? Now you guys got to work together. And if you kill this one, I'm going to kill it. And it's like, man, if we don't get the fuck out of here with this silly... Right. Everything else, I'm not as mad at. I'm fucking with a lot of it.
Yeah, I mean, because really, they go into a federal courthouse, you know what I'm saying, steal witnesses at will.
Yeah.
But they can't fucking kill Jason.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it hasn't dawned on him just to pop him.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he kill everybody else.
He killed everybody.
Tommy and shoot his mans.
You know what I'm saying? Like, God damn. But, you know, it is something to keep
the story
going.
So let's talk about it. What's your thoughts? What you see? Let's break it down.
Oh, man. When I think about the show, mm-hmm. I think about it in pieces. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's various little moments
like
that come to mind. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really fuck with how Dre killed my man. You know what I'm saying? Well, I was very silly that he was able to get out of the zip ties.
Yeah.
But in the manner that he got it popping, I fuck with how they shot that shit.
Oh, it was dope, little smooth.
When he put his brains on the wall, it was like, oh.
It was smooth.
You know what I'm saying?
And it was, I hate to say, there's certain deaths on that show, or just in general in entertainment, where mm-hmm. your empathy is limited because you like, nigga, you should have known better. You did some dumb shit. Like, he had been doing, and it's not even he was doing dumb shit. He was just being way too understanding.
Gullible
and like he's not in the crime world. Like he's giving too many people it's not even gullible, ain't giving way too many people the benefit of the doubt.
But in real life, but to be fair, it is people like that. You know what I'm saying? When you inside of a criminal situation, most guys aren't, you know what I'm saying, super, you know what I mean? Like they're not super strategic and all that stuff. And some guys are just in it just to, you know what I mean? Not be in real life. You know what I'm saying? Like,
something to do.
The streets is kind of like, you know what I'm saying? Some people just like, I could get some clout here, you know what I'm saying? And rest of the world is kind of hard. And I get paid, I got clout. And you know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to do much more. You know
it's
what I'm
saying? It's a vocation.
It's like somebody, it's like people who go to their jobs and they just work their job every day and that's it, man. You know what I mean? Don't stress me about no other shit.
Right.
They're not trying to figure out how the company work or if the boss trying to exploit them, you know what I'm saying, or the value of their talent, you know what I'm saying? And he was one of those guys who didn't understand the value of his talent and just, you know, just fell into whatever Tommy said.
Well, I mean, but then at the same time, well, I would think a person like that would probably be more of a cog in the wheel. Like, and maybe I'm just looking at this last particular episode because it happened so many times, or maybe it was the last two episodes. But it was times where he'd be like when they on the last episode, when Tommy was like, "Yo, I need y'all to get this product off, but I ain't got no money. I can't pay y'all."
Right. That was a stupid plot anyway. But go ahead.
But the other two cats was like, "Nah, fam, 2 Bit and was Spank." Right. They was like, nah, fam, I'm not doing this for nothing. Like, this is a job. We do this for...
Right.
My man was like, no, we must help Tommy.
Right, but there's always people like that. It's always the teacher's pet, the company man.
And that's what made his empathy so limited. Because I was like, man, you've been doing a little much.
Yeah, you've
been doing way too... You've been going against the grain. I'm not surprised you got...
You got your head popped
off. Yeah, it was kind of being... Telegraph.
Yeah. No doubt. But you know what I'm saying? It's just a little. They only got... I can't understand how they a super big ass product moving organization. There's only three of their
ass. Right. You know, well, now it's none of them.
But you know what I'm saying? They acting as distribution, so I get it.
Yeah.
So there's still two of them. Well, none of them, two of them.
Two might come back.
Yeah, two might come back. They trying to get back on some stupid shit.
It was funny when they got fired, when he fired Spank. I was like, damn, Spank funny than a motherfucker. I like this. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Spank is one of them New York cats that, like, you know what I'm saying, like a throwback New York cat.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? He like an old school nigga from Fort Greene in 1987, 88.
Uh-huh.
Like me being from Miami, you look at characters on the screen.
That's what you picture.
You know what I'm saying? Like one of the most authentic ones would be like Spank.
Uh-huh.
Which, you know what I'm saying, I know don't represent the whole... But Spank is kind of like Mars Blackman, but the drug dealer version.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
I can see it.
Like, he cool. He got the glasses and shit. You know, he got witty shit to say all the fucking time.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, a little old in the face. You know what I mean? That's part of it. That's part of the debate. I fuck with him, though. He funny as shit. Tate and his little jump off campaign. Man. That was a little... I didn't like how that was wrapped up that crazy. I still don't even trust that.
Right, but like, how the husband get a room key to the room?
Who knows?
You know what I'm saying? Tate going to her room. Tate ain't got his own. She's like that, you know.
That's white man. Weird. Say, listen, I'm in suite such and such. I need my room key. They say, oh.
I bet.
I mean, who knows? I thought, it was a little hotel room. I'm not surprised how they got that off. For a hot second, I thought maybe that was at the house.
Nah, it was a hotel.
It was a hotel? Yeah.
And then my wife was like, you know, maybe it's her room and her husband, he got a key. But that don't make no sense.
That don't make no sense that he would have a key. But I figured that maybe he, if that was her room, he played the husband card at the front desk. You know what I mean? Finesse the key.
Right.
You know, power is not really always about the logical, you know what I mean?
Continuity.
Yeah, sometimes you need to just suspend some
shit. Yeah. But they was getting it in. They was putting in work. Power would be putting in work on their sex scenes and shit. Mm-hmm. Like, they be going in.
Yeah, they going for it. They
trying to top. I think Scandal has set the bar for like regular TV.
Okay.
And then from there, it felt like a license for everybody to just go in.
Right. Yes, yeah, so I guess Power, you know, Power on that premium.
Yeah,
shit
Power
too,
on so. Cable, so they got a license.
Mm-hmm. Tasha turning Tariq on the game. I'll be honest with you, I didn't anticipate this, but I'm not mad at it. I did not see that coming.
I mean, she's...
But it makes sense.
Tasha true to character.
Yeah.
She wanted Ghost to be a dope boy.
Her and Tommy are probably still the most consistent to character, in my opinion.
I mean, everybody else, but nobody likes where Ghost want to go.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to see the drug dealer go legit in a TV or on the film.
Yeah, I guess.
You know what I'm saying? So Tasha is true to form. She going to stay in the game.
Right.
She want the game. She respect that shit. That's what she know.
Uh-huh.
That's what she love. And you know what I'm saying? If her son is going to be in it, nigga, if you're going to do it, we're going to do it right. And this, let me show you how. And in that way, she could kind of coach up some talent. You know what I'm saying? Like with Ghost, you know what I'm saying? She held him out. She da-da-da-da-da, but he never was coachable. You know what I'm saying?
Ghost
was never coachable.
Yeah, because they were, well, it's different. Their relationship, too.
You know what I'm saying? He was already, when he got her, so, you know, he gonna ride with you, but you know how that shit get. Like Scarface said, you know what I'm saying? I had a woman down with me, but Demise, you know, she was trying to get me.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
I thought
she helped me out
seconds.
In this shit, but to me, she was just another bitch.
Nigga, when you said
now she's
like,
back with her mother.
I thought you were talking about Scarface the movie.
Nah, I realized that spitting. I love him. Go ahead.
I was like, who? When did he say that shit?
Nah. Scarface the rapper.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was the most open, honest, transparent semen verse of, you know, rap at the time.
That record?
What yeah, nobody. That? That's My Playing Tricks.
Oh, okay.
But you know what I'm saying? Nobody had really expressed that kind of love and regret. Like, nobody loses on the rap records back then. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
It was like, you know, so for him to say, you know, I ain't trust her. To me, she was just another bitch. And then to realize that, you know what? I really do love her.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That was the first time that had happened.
That's an interesting lane. The Vulnerable Records. Looking at the Front Door is one of them, too.
What happened?
You know, what'd you say? Treat me like a burnt piece of bacon. what'd he say? The Plato stuck up rap. I forget the whole shit, but he's like, he going through it. He's like, yeah. Yo, you don't think I'm good enough, or right. You be beefing.
Yeah, mama tripping.
Yeah,
you know,
and
yeah,
he was
yeah.
going through it. And then, oh shit, remember your mom's in my business. Tell your mom's to mind her business.
Yeah.
That was a 5K solo.
And then the you know, I always, you know what I'm saying, with Snoop on Bitches Ain't Shit. Bitches Ain't Shit, everybody always look at it like,
right.
You know what I'm saying, very disrespectful record.
Yeah.
But Snoop was very open and vulnerable on that record.
Yeah.
And he lost on that record.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he was the first one on the record to eat the pussy, and, like, it was nothing. Like, nobody really ate the pussy on the record back then.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Now I'm just in love like a motherfucker licking the pearl tongue.
Right.
Homies used to tell me that she wasn't no good. You know what I'm saying? Then he went to jail, came back, and his little cousin dad's, and he fucking his hoe.
Now, right.
You know what I'm saying? So he was heart broke, but a still low. Man, fuck a bitch. So that's what the song, really, the premise of the song was.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That he got his heart broke.
The disappointment.
The disappointment. He was vulnerable. Which at the time, like, again, it was like, you never heard no shit like that on no record. But you see the reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was almost like when girls heard I Need Love from LL Cool J.
Mm.
When the response to the Bitches Ain't Shit record was like, oh, that's so, you know what I mean? Like, It was converse to what I thought it would be.
Wait, you saw a more sympathetic response?
Yeah.
To Bitches Ain't Shit?
To Snoop verse on Bitches Ain't Shit.
I never heard it parsed like that.
Motherfuckers used to see girls in the club on that record, like, you know what I'm saying?
No, I know, but the beat is crazy, but I never heard women saying,
but
Snoop, I didn't know you were so vulnerable.
But at the time, you know what I'm saying, with Snoop, talk about eating, like no other rapper had talked about eating pussy on the record.
No doubt.
And you know what I'm saying? Got his heart broke on the record like that.
Understood. But I never, outside of the conversations I've had with you talking about this record, I've never heard nobody really dissect the record in a way to where they would even place any emotion towards anything beyond. Nah. Like, when I just remember that beat dropping. Yeah, and it was like, yeah, it was a moment where you're like, hey, please forgive me. But but you know what I mean? My bad, I'll be back in 4 minutes. I'm gonna tox out.
But, you know, see, the thing was, I was in college at the time. So, you know how college, you know, everything get philosophical.
No, absolutely.
You
know that was a hell of a cipher, probably.
You know, yeah, so, you know, it motherfuckers be like smoking weed. You know what I'm saying? And they get to talking and shit. So
right.
You hear different shit. And it was very interesting to me, the response
right
to that shit. You know
that's
what I mean?
That's interesting. I never caught that before. Ladies, in the comments, if you felt that way when you was listening to Bitches Ain't Shit, did you look past the hook to say, hey, I hear the hurt in this man's
voice?
It
wasn't really about the song itself. It was about, like, Snoop as his own brand, Snoop
right.
as a person, Snoop as a rapper. I think people understood him better. People
mm-hmm.
people felt him. Like,
yeah.
even on Ain't Nothing But a G Thing, the way he looked in the video.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he's like a super gangster on the record, but then when you watch the video, you know, he looking shy, his hat off, you know what I mean? He looking
right.
down, he won't look at the camera.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it was almost a thing where you giving him like, yo, you the top motherfucker in this shit, but I feel you. I would be the same way. I would be shy too.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I think he garnered a, he had a lot of personality in the way that, that's why he's still popping now. Everybody somehow found something to feel about Snoop Dogg.
He's fully formed. He's one of the, I don't want to say one of the first, but he's definitely, because, you know, and that comes from the benefit of longevity. The longer you in the game as a rapper, you either going to become one-dimensional, almost a caricature of yourself, or if you evolve and like, report on your life or just revolve and appear in life and you know, deal with whatever's thrown at you,
mm-hmm.
people going to see more sides of you. Like, right. that's the thing, like, I still feel like we haven't seen everything Snoop got to offer, and it's over 20 years.
Right.
And I've been watching him since the beginning, and to feel like, and I genuinely feel like that because there's times that don't happen that often with right. rappers to where you like, oh shit, wow, it could do that too. Like right. his whole GGN move where he right. was doing the interviews and just his whole, like when he's talking about, when you really hear Snoop talk about music and some of the decisions he made and shit that he interacted in the music business and then mm-hmm. some of the choices he made based on just music in specifically, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Not even, you like, all of that shit and the way he pulled certain inspirations and all of that shit, like, it's like, okay, this cat is way deeper than I would have thought initially. And that's no shot at him. It's just like, when I was young, you didn't really expect much from a rapper outside of persona and mm-hmm. a dope record. You know what I'm saying? So
a lot of rappers don't get the benefit to grow up.
Right.
And you know what I'm saying, express different sides. And Snoop had the opportunity because he was so loved on so many different fronts. Grandmas love Snoop Doggy Dogg.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That he was able to grow up and show different sides and still be a cool motherfucker, be on the TV with Martha Stewart and Sesame Street, and mm-hmm. still smoke all the reefer.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Have all the chicks sliding down the poles. Like he had the shit at University of Kansas the other night.
Right.
With the you know what I'm
on
saying?
The stripper pole,
the acrobatic dancers on the poles.
Right.
Which, you know what I'm saying, ain't really no trip because it's really people who really take skills to do that kind of shit. Even nobody was naked. You know what I'm saying? Like, Cirque du Soleil shit is the same kind of shit. But that's an aside. But with Snoop, his personality keeps him. Well, you know what I'm saying? Well, his spirit or, you know what I'm saying, his angels, God, whoever, whatever it is, he's kept against all the little shit that come at his way. You know, he's able to still be that motherfucker in the entertainment business that could kind of be his own way.
Yeah.
Everybody yeah. don't get that.
Yeah. I guess, yeah, he wasn't afraid to be himself. Right. I think some people don't feel like they're entitled to that. I think sometimes, and it's not even that they might not feel it, but sometimes you could be told that. So much about various industries, but definitely the music business back in the day, there used to be like unwritten rules that were kind of passed. Yo, you don't never want to do that. Make sure you don't do this. Or yo, if you probably gonna look crazy if you do that. Like, and a lot of that shit was fear-based because this was a developing industry and you've seen a lot of people's careers come and go fast and you kind of got to predict or kind of surmise real fast what was that downfall and then add it to the, yo, don't do that. Yo, next thing, you know what I mean? Yo, look, you don't want to look like, you know what I mean? Whatever it is. If it's some random shit like, you don't want to look like you got a lady. You know what I'm saying? Because you won't always look like you available to women and shit like that.
Right.
You downplay that shit. You got, you know what I mean? And that kind of thing. And then, you shit. Niggas have wives. I remember Snoop was like, you know, he was one of the, not one of the right. first, but one of them cats that was like, yeah, that's my wife. Right. Like, and I remember until like maybe just maybe 12 years ago, I'd say, rappers started like embracing matrimony, you know what I mean? And like claiming, you know what I mean? Like
most of the times when they married another celebrity.
Well, that, yeah, typically that because it was a look.
Right.
But then it became a look. But then I do see more and more cats that are like, marrying they real baby mothers, they real woman, like they real lady who they was with prior to the shit, or you know what I mean? That's not in the light, and they just a regular person. They're civil, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And they embracing that. They saying, no, I'm a fully full person. When I get off this mic, I got a wife, I got kids, I got a mortgage.
Right.
Like, you starting to hear more about it. I guess it's because, you know, we've had more years with it, but you starting to hear more about it.
And the internet demands more information from these celebrities, and you can't hide. I mean, a lot of times it's harder to not give some of your other side.
Right.
And then it's less record label oversight where they kind of controlling your whole image and shit like that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm sure that definitely plays a portion of it, because the internet is like social media and all that. You need some content. So it's like, well, shit, I'm trying to monetize this song, so I can't just give y'all a song. I'm going to give you a moment with my son. Right. You know what I mean? Or whatever. You know, it's dead ass. If you want to be ruthless about it.
Parent trapping and shit.
Parent trapped. You know what I mean? Oh, wow. You know what I mean? You know, all of that type of shit. But, you know, it's a good thing, because I think it shows, you know, it shows the other side of shit. Like, it's so funny, like, now that certain rappers are getting older, you know, the content is the older stories, right? And what's kind of cool is a lot of these rappers, for the most part, are kind of getting past these beefs that we probably thought would people would never get past. You know what I'm saying? And then they speaking on the beefs and how they, you know, whether it's Fat Joe and Jay-Z, or whether it's Fat Joe and 50, or whether it's, you know what I mean, whomever, Lil Brother, you know what I'm saying?
Lil Brother had a beef?
Lil Brother, yeah, they you know, they parted for a long time.
Oh, beefing with each other.
Within the group, you know what I'm saying? But it's just like, as you get older, you got more maturity, and you got, there's more nuance to relationships, and it's not so persona-based. So it's like, yo, you know, I felt hurt. You know what I'm saying? Like, your favorite rapper saying some shit like, yo, I felt hurt about that. And I didn't, you know what I mean? I ain't really want to get on the record with this person, because I felt, the, you know what I mean? Back in the day, they can be like, yo, I'm really fuck with son. You know what I'm saying? He know what it is.
Right.
You know what I mean? Rather than being honest and vulnerable and being like, yo, nah, I was disappointed at that point. Or I was lost. I didn't know what to do. Or I lost my confidence in this petition. You like,
But that's the benefit of being able to grow up. When you 20, when you 25, you don't give a fuck about a lot of shit that you give a fuck about when you 40.
No, but you know what though? No, that's true. That's true. Absolutely. But what I've noticed, and I don't know if it's because I don't know what it is, because I don't have kids, but I've noticed that this new generation of rappers and kids, they seem to be a little bit more forthcoming, and a little, they know how to articulate their feelings a little bit more. They don't, they don't seem to be caught up in the same shit that my generation was caught up in. Obviously, they got their own little shit going on, but I feel like at least they're not as, there's still persona, but there's a little bit more depth to what they're doing now.
Yeah, no doubt. And everybody is more aware of business, one. Two, back in our days, everybody was isolated. Wherever you was from, that's what, you know what I'm saying? You were isolated in your region or whatever.
Right.
And it wasn't an internet to connect everybody every day and connect these universal ideas.
Right.
So if you was from Compton, you had a Compton state of mind.
Right.
And you went out in the world with a Compton state of mind. If you was from Miami, you was Dade County state of mind.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's how you went out in the world. And you didn't you didn't know what an Atlanta nigga was like until you hit Atlanta.
Right.
And you didn't hit them, you didn't hit there with, I know what you like, so I'm gonna come at you like how I already know what y'all fuck with. Nah, you coming as a Miami nigga, or you coming as a Compton nigga, or you know what I'm saying? So it's a lot different back then. Until you start mixing it up with people, you don't know what they about. So you try to stand your ground. And, you know, with the internet, it gives everybody, like, you get an idea of what London rappers going through. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You get an idea what niggas in Nigeria going through, in South Africa. So it's a whole lot different. So people have a better understanding of, okay, what are these mindsets that that are going around. But then, you know, you do have guys who got they own reputation, and you know that nigga probably ain't to be fucked with, so I'm really not going to fuck with him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Off rip. Because you already seen it. You seen some examples. You seen some victims. And you like, you know what? Either you're going to go hard and try them, or you're going to... I'm going to let them have it.
No, but what I mean, too, I dig it. But I think, and definitely the internet has something to do with it. And I think just time has something to do with it. Because to your point, not only were you isolated, but you were the representation. Like when rap first kicked off, if you was first through the door, you represented that area. Right. You know what I mean? Like when, so like, you know, obviously if you're from there, there's people that are forgotten or people that might not be, you know, might not be known, but Rakim represented Long Island. Luke represents Miami. To people that aren't from Miami, that's probably people from Miami that seen other people prior to Luke, but it was like, boom, this is what we know for Luke, boom.
Right.
NWA is what we know for Compton, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know, Big Daddy Kane is what you know for Brooklyn or whatever, right? And then as it changed, as it gets on, like further and further along, more people got to come out. And initially, some people might come in and be like, oh, I'm from Miami, so I might need to do booty shake to pop, or at least feel that way, even if they don't feel that way, right? And then there's motherfuckers that say, nah, I'm going to talk about this type of shit, so I'm going to add another level to what you could expect from Miami, right? So then it's like, you look at somebody like Kendrick coming from Compton, that's a little different than what you would have thought of fucking Compton 20 years ago.
Right.
You know what I mean? Good Kid, Mad City, or you know what I mean? So it's just like, it just, I guess it's the generations, and it's like performers or any type of art, the people that come before you kind of push it open a little bit more, give you a little bit more room.
Yeah, I know.
Y'all know y'all used to be do it like this, but I did it like that, and now this is an option.
Yeah, because it takes time. Time, you know what I'm saying? Compton, after NWA, you know what I'm saying? On a national scale, it got quiet. So, you know what I'm saying? We didn't see their evolution. You know what I'm saying? Kendrick might be the representation of Compton's evolution or the artistry in L.A. You know what I'm saying? South L.A. The artistry might have changed. You know what I'm saying? But we don't get a close view of it because it's not on the, it's not in our face right there. So you had plenty of artists that, you know, could have led to why Kendrick raps the way he rapped. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But, you know.
It's just evolution. I mean, yeah, evolution. If you look at the game rapped like an East Coast cat, but he was from Compton.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like not to say he didn't have his shit littered with L.A. references and all types of gang culture and all of that. But if you listen to his flow and his approach to the mic, it's more East Coast leaning than it is, you know what I mean, traditional West Coast shit.
Right.
But anyway, you know, yeah. I don't even know how we got into this shit.
Yeah, we fucked the Power of Love review.
Oh, we was talking about Power and
but,
shit.
But, you know what I'm saying, and continuing on that type shit.
Yeah.
I listened to the Mogul Season 2 podcast, those episodes that are out.
The Miami joint.
The Miami joint.
Yeah. You know that's Jinx. Shout out to Jinx.
You know him?
I don't know him. I know he's an AUC alumni, so I got, you know, love and respect. I gave him a pound one time at Complex Con. He's, you know, AUC cat doing his thing. I said, peace. Mm-hmm. I see you out here. And then I see recently he's doing press about that. Because you were the person that told me about the mogul situation, Miami look. I didn't even know about it.
Well, listeners hit me about it because, you know.
They know you Miami.
They hear me talk about the Miami stuff all the time. And so about four people hit me about it. And I was like, let me check this shit out. So I went and checked it out, man. It's actually pretty good. You know what I'm saying?
It hasn't all the way dropped. It's dropping.
They dropped six episodes. I'm not sure when they dropping anything else, but it didn't seem like that was the end.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So they dropped six episodes, most of it, which was weird how they broke it up because they probably should have stopped at five and then came back. But most of the six was about Luke, Two Live Crew, and the freedom of speech part of how it started. But they do talk about, you know, how bass music actually started, you know what I'm saying, how the Pac Jam played a role in that. But again, being there, and you know what I'm saying, it's like some people were, they were there for, you know, Kool Herc's party in the projects in the Bronx, you know what I'm saying? And they could tell you what was happening and how it went down. For this, you know what I'm saying, it's like one of them situations where I was actually there, you know what I'm saying? I was in the Pac Jam skating rink when Too Loud Crew came to perform before they moved to Miami, you know what I'm saying? So it's, I was there.
Before Luke was even a part of it at that point, right?
No, Luke was a promoter. He promoted the Pac Jam. Basically, if you listen to the Mogul podcast on Gimlet, you know, season two, and it's based on Miami, you know what I'm saying? And when you listen to it, they'll talk about the Pac Jam. But they talk about, they really start to say, you know, Pac Jam, Liberty City. But the Pac Jam didn't start in Liberty City. You know what I'm saying? Luke and then Ghetto Style, they were all from Liberty City. But the genius part about what they did was he went further north in the city to where, you know, I grew up in Carroll City. But even further north, there was a skating rink. Mm-hmm. And the neighborhood was still kind of white. Mm-hmm. And it was Sunshine Skating Rink. And basically, Luke came into a white skating rink and said, I want to do this party on this particular night, either Friday or Saturday. And then when he did the party, when he advertised the party on the radio station, that shit said, at the Pac Jam skating rink. Mm-hmm. And niggas was like, what the fuck is the Pac Jam skating rink? And so he brought people from the city, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, from all around. He brought black people from all around to come to this white-ass skating rink,
right,
which he called Pac Jam.
Oh, he called it the Pac Jam.
Yeah, he just called it the Pac Jam.
Oh, okay.
So that was like the first, like in real life, that was the first time where I really realized what marketing was. Mm. I probably was like in sixth, seventh grade, and it was like, damn. Because I was like, when you hear the address, it was like, yeah, Pac Jam Skating Rink, such and such and such, 199th Street.
You're like, what is that?
Nigga, that's the Sunshine Skating Rink.
Right.
But I was like, damn. So when you go and you see
Oh, you knew about that rink.
Yeah, it's in my name. It's like the next neighborhood over.
Oh, okay.
So that's like, you know, we go there to go skating, but it's okay. Usually like white.
Uh-huh.
You know, they be playing Holly Dolly and shit like that.
What's Holly Dolly?
That's a song. Look that shit up. Holly Dolly. Keep moving on. You know about Holly Dolly.
Uh-oh. I gotta hear it. We're good.
So you know what I'm saying? So when I heard the address, I was like, yo, that's a Sunshine Skating Rink. And when you go to the party, you go, and it's like, oh, shit, they got all the whole city of this bitch.
Right.
And it's like, yo, this is fucking genius. That's what I'm thinking. As right. a kid, like, this is fucking genius that he turned Sunshine Skating Rink into...
He rebranded it.
You know what I'm saying? To his own shit.
Right.
And so that was the real big part about why the Pac Jam was so special. Because he brought people from all over the city to a place where they wouldn't have normally been. And he would bring all the rappers, whatever rappers was out, Schoolie D, da-da-da-da. And then he, you know, Too Loud Crew when they had this record called Beatbox. And, you know what I'm saying? And they said in the podcast, they go through it, and a lot of it is all legit, it's all good. They do a really good job, but you could tell that Jinx wasn't actually the guy who was on the ground when they did the Miami interviews, because some of the continuity didn't match up.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And you could hear, like, you know, JT talking, saying some stuff, and it kind of contradicts what he says once they go to the voiceover.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But other than that, I thought it was, you know what I'm saying, it's a real good representation of a basic, you know what I'm saying, top-level representation of where bass music came from.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what's up.
I'm just an old Miami nerd that knows more of the information that I'll probably put too much shit in where people don't even want to listen to the shit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I go too deep. You know what I'm saying?
You fuck with it.
That was my life. So, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
when you talk about hip hop, you get it. You see it from like New York hip hop. I saw it from afar and you was into it and you like, oh shit, this is crazy.
Right.
This is some new shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then the first time you ever seen it in real life was like the Fresh Fest.
Yeah.
They come through, do the real shit. I'm like, oh, that's the real shit. But then it's a whole another thing popping off where you from. It's the same culture. Right. It just sounds different. You know what
right.
I'm saying?
Right.
And but it feels the same. You know what I'm saying? The energy, the you know, the excitement. Like, it's young. You young. It's, you in middle school and shit. You got middle schoolers, high schoolers just having it.
Right.
Sweating the walls in the motherfucking spot.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And to see how that turned into like a billion-dollar industry. Mm-hmm. And to be able to work in that industry my whole life is crazy shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's crazy to me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It was there. You seen it. You seen the shit with your very eyes.
You see it. You join it. And you rep that shit and you ride it out. And everything that I've done, every money that I made, all is based on that culture.
That feeling.
You know what I'm saying? And that feeling. And, you know, to be here now, I'm 48 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's all I ever done. Like, I've, you know what I'm saying? I didn't do no, all my shit had to do with that culture.
That's beautiful.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like watching it start and then watching where you at, it's like, you know, that shit is bananas.
Nah, man. That shit is fucking beautiful. Speaking of Miami, JT, you know, JT from the City Girls just got out.
Oh, she got out?
Yeah, she got out.
Oh,
yeah,
shit.
She put out a freestyle. Yeah,
shout out. Oh, she put out. Oh, you know, when she got out?
I think, supposedly, I seen it on the blogs.
Today?
Today, about an hour ago. Something like that. So she got out. We'll see what happens.
I think they about to light it up.
I hope so. We'll see what happens. Because she's the rapper of the two, too. Right. So hopefully.
And that's a good energy, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, the get out energy, finally, you know, and we'll see how it click and see what they do.
Because they got it started, then she went in. She went in right when it was about to pop.
Right.
Then it popped with her verses and shit, but she in jail. Yeah. Now she get to come home and live it.
It should be interesting.
Know, she probably going to run her bag up getting features and shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's going, you know, I guess they own the hot girl fall and winter.
Let's see what happens.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man. Speaking of, you talking about how basically, you know, you went from seeing the culture as a fan, experiencing the culture as a fan, and now being a participant throughout your life, and it's been a through line throughout your life, and it's like, wow, that, you know, you yielded a lot from it, and it just... That's a beautiful thing, but it also reminds me, if I was looking online, see a lot of people went to this Tyler Perry studio.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
opening.
Yeah.
That shit felt like, it seemed like it was a very big moment.
Yeah.
I looked at a lot of people's, you know, their Instagram feeds and their you know, their dispatches from the shit. I was listening to Bev talk about certain things that was cool.
Yeah.
I seen Spike Lee. I thought this was cool.
That was crazy.
Have autographed the menu.
Did he?
Yeah, he, like, everybody had these, you know, everybody had personalized menus,
right,
which was fire. It's the details. Make a motherfucker really feel like they was there. Right. They got their name on the menu. But what Spike did that was kind of cool is he took his menu and he got autographs from everybody that was there. He posted on Instagram. He was like, yo, whose autograph can you spot?
Right.
There's mad autographs on there. I seen, I think, Beyonce, Hillary Clinton's on there, 2 Chainz is on there. It just shows, like, how it ran the gamut of all those people that were in the scope of all those people that were there celebrating such a big moment. But it also made me think, it's a good thing that's not Tyler Petty. Because, you know, a lot of motherfuckers wasn't fucking with Tyler,
I mean,
stylistically. And, and there's a lot of people that still don't, but...
I mean, and Spike was the main vocal one.
He was one of the first.
He called him a coon.
Oh, wow. Damn, I know he called him a coon, but
he called him a coon.
The fact that he looked beyond all of that, opened his doors, and said, hey, come on in, celebrate.
That's what winning looked like.
I want you to see this win up close.
He named the studio a soundstage after Spike.
Oh, wow. That's
why Spike was there. He named the soundstage after him. You know what I'm saying? He had all his, you know,
well, that was
his
nice.
Idols he named soundstage after.
I wonder if he was on the surveillance cameras in the back, like, look at these niggas down there. Look at this motherfucker right there. You know that motherfucker called me a coon back in 03.
But when you done
ticket, you
done visualize.
Seven up cake.
When you visualize your whole plan.
No, I don't.
You know what I'm saying? But that's the second time that Spike is caught into a contradiction. You know what I'm saying? Because when Cuba Gooding Jr. won the Oscar and he got up there and wilded out and was dancing and acting a fool, Spike called him out and called him a coon or whatever the fuck he called him. And then when Spike got the honorary Oscar shit,
he jumped into Sam Jackson.
He jumped up there and acted like a goddamn coon him damn self. Jumped in Sam Jackson's arm with a purple suit on. Come on, it don't get more coonish than that.
You know, I always had a pilot. I don't know where I would shoot this, what network I could sell it to, but I always wanted to do some shit called Coon Court. Just because sometimes I need a nigga to be able to defend himself.
Right, definitely.
Him and Sam knew each other from Morehouse. They fought with each other. So that was recasted as Black Boy Joy, even though Spike is damn near in the 60s.
Joy. I understand.
But I can dig it.
But the
keep
optics,
the same energy.
But see, what happens is you're not just representing you and Sam Morehouse. You representing the culture at a whole. I'm not in the Coon Court.
Well, there's a couple of cases on the Coon Court docket. We can talk. That's the first one.
Right.
Is that coon behavior? But what I also saw you say, because
he's not a cute
dog.
That's
another case.
Okay.
Can a Black man wear a purple suit without being a coon?
Yes.
Okay.
There are some stylistic purple suits.
Okay.
Prince ain't never been a coon.
Okay.
He wore purple all the time.
I mean, Eddie wore purple in Raw.
Eddie wore purple. I wouldn't give it to him.
But you did come out the gate saying he had on a purple suit, which is some coon behavior.
It was a coonish purple suit because he had on the gold shoes.
After cross-examination, you said.
And he's not a cute dog.
Prince ain't a cute dog. That's what I'm saying.
But he ain't have on gold shoes either.
But it's
about the style, man. If you make style work, then you can make it work.
All right. Well, Coon Court is adjourned.
It's not adjourned. It's still open.
So you saying it's an open docket?
It's an open docket. I ain't going to coon him out. I'm just saying the judgment that he passed along to other people, he put himself in a position to kind of be judged upon.
Yeah. That's what happened. You know, the old school saying, when you point one finger, you got three fingers pointing back at yourself.
No doubt. And so to watch Tyler grow to the space that he has grown to, execute his plan, because there's plenty of people that could have been in position to do the similar type of thing, but Tyler executed that shit, opened his studio, bought another studio, and kept it growing. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of people got to eat crow on, you know what I'm saying, his style. And what he's doing means to the culture as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes it's beyond just the content that you're putting out. You know what I'm saying? Beyond the fancy event that Tyler had,
right,
a couple of days before, he had one for his employees.
Okay.
And when you look at that shit is blacker than a motherfucker.
Okay.
I seen the picture of the title staff,
mm-hmm.
It don't look like that. And I would beg, you know what I'm saying? I would challenge any of our, you know what I'm saying, heroes that got these big companies and shit, and let's see their staffs. And I don't think any of them would look like Tyler's.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Shout out to Tyler.
You know what I'm saying? Oprah, I don't believe none of them staffs look like that.
Mm.
That man's staff look real black.
Nubian.
You know what I'm saying? No, he got a few people in positions that's white, whatever, whatever.
Non-Nubian.
No doubt. But when I looked at that title staff picture, woo-woo!
It looked diverse.
You know what I'm saying? I get them motherfuckers $9.99 every month.
You know what's so funny? I used to do a joke where I was like, I never met a white person with a title subscription. That wasn't complimentary. Like, I would love, you know what I mean?
I'm sure it exists.
Of course it does, but I just
they were
never...
like they were like a European company before they even came to America.
So you saying they got grandfathered in?
No, I'm sure they got European customers and shit. But I don't know no white Americans with it, but you know what I'm saying? I ain't really, you know what I'm saying, polling my white friends on their music subscription either.
Anyway, shout out to Tidal, though. I have been fucking with them recently. Real talk. Actually, I've been listening to the Rap Radar shit. The Juicy J interview was really fucking good. You would enjoy that shit.
All right,
Stephen A. Smith shit was official. Right. What was I going to say? Yeah, man. But yeah, shout out to Tyler Perry. That shit was is dope. it's dope to see, you know, somebody build history like that, create, put their stake in the ground and empower themselves. You know what I mean? So that was big. That was big news. Yeah, man. So, yeah, salute Tyler Perry, man. That's historic.
No doubt. No doubt. Big shit. Big shit popping, man. Yeah. I think the A is going to be, they feeling like they on fire right now.
Yeah, it's popping down there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, man, anything else going on with you? What's the latest?
Man, that's it, man. I'm actually headed to the A, you know what I'm saying, to bust off a new project.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, that should be dope. You excited?
Yeah, I'm very excited.
There's a lot going on with that.
It's my first real TV shit.
Oh, shit.
You know what I'm saying? TV shit.
You gonna tell the people about it or what?
Yeah, yeah, I'm producing on a show called Central Ave that's dropping November 4th. It's a daily entertainment news show that's, you know, executive produced by Will Packer, you know what I'm saying, showrunner Monique Chenault. I'm one of seven producers, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Jalissa Bermudez is hosting with Sonya Richards-Ross, who was an Olympic gold medalist. She's the other host, and shit, it's going down. Like, we head out. I head out this weekend to start on pre-production. And it'll be on air on Fox in select markets. I think it's 15 markets on November 4th. But yeah, you'll start seeing the press. They, you know what I'm saying? I think the press starting, like, after tomorrow. That photo shoot going on right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's dope.
Yeah.
Central Ave coming soon.
Word up.
Central Ave. Shout out to Yonkers.
what the fuck kind of Yonkers?
It's Central Ave and Yonkers.
You know where Central Ave come from? Central Ave in Los Angeles was like the 125th Street of LA.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, it was like in the 20s and 30s and shit. That's where all of the jazz and the cool people and the fancy people and you know what I'm saying? That was the strip. That was where okay. It was. You know what I'm saying? So Central Ave represents that whole feeling of being on that main strip, whatever city it is. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
That's what's up. So you're about to be in Atlanta. Anywhere else they can catch you for next
week? You catch me on the Instagram at Mr. Muhammad, on Twitter at Mr. Muhammad, you know what I'm saying, as we always do. And shit, where you going to be?
Where am I going to be at? I'll be at Eastville on Thursday on the 8 o'clock show. I'll also be there Sunday on the 8 o'clock show as well. And I'll be at Westside Comedy Club on the 16th on the 8 p.m. show. And I'm probably going to be at a few other places between now and then. I'll update that on my website, DamianLemon.com. But until then, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation.
Yes, sir.
We are out.
And the main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.